Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is J.D. Martinez. Just dingers. J.D. hits that three-run bomb in the 10th inning to make you feel like you could exhale a little bit. All right. The Mets win 9-7. It got a little dicey. But, man, how valuable has that guy been? He hits his 10th homer of the year. He obviously started the year late, but he's a professional hitter in that lineup. You can move him around in that lineup. All he's going to do is get knocks, big hits, and he's had some big hits to save the day for the Mets early on this year. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I said before the break I was going to go back and try and find the terms of the deal that the Rockets, like, sent to the Nets. It's all rumors, so you never see the terms of the deal. But I saw that, you know, Shams put out that the Nets were going to get a deal from the Rockets that included Jalen Green and multiple first-round picks, but it doesn't say which ones. But Houston owned Brooklyn's 2024, 2026 first-round picks, and then also swaps in 2025, 2027. And that just never happened. It never went down. And I remember at the time thinking, damn, like, what do they have to do? Like, what do they have to get? Like, who? What is the offer for this guy? Maybe if I go back to my Talking Nets notes from a podcast I did back then, it's just like, yo, what do you see in him? What do you see in him? Jay is in Harlem. What's up, Jay? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
What's up?
Honestly, I called last time, and I was going to give you a pass about the Nets. I said I wasn't a hater, but I think you're just trying to cope with all this happy about the future. Like, nobody's excited for a complete rebuild. Like, you gotta be honest, bro. Like, let's be real. Like, a complete rebuild. Like, what are you excited about? The only thing that's good is your own picks, not the picks we gave you. Like, that's not gonna rebuild your franchise. Your own picks from you guys sucking, which you're gonna suck.
Oh, you got,
like,
the
that's
crystal
what's
ball.
Help you. So, like
they sell crystal balls up there. Saying, like, you know, got the future, so, huh? You got the script. You know exactly how it's going to go down. The Nets are going to suck, and your picks are going to be nothing. They're not going to be high picks. They're not going to potentially pick a good player. We're cooked forever.
No, your own picks are going to be good. No, your own picks are going to be good because you're going to suck. That's what you should be excited about. But you didn't fleece us because the picks you got from us, I'm going to help you. Like,
well, what you do we need Mikal Bridges for? I would have taken back way less for Mikal Bridges at this point.
Of course you don't.
Mikal Bridges.
He's a perfect fit for us because of what
one man's
do.
Trash is another man's treasure, right? Mikal Bridges to y'all is so valuable, right? When you go to pawn shops or you go to these conventions, right? If somebody's got that last missing piece to the set, hey, I ain't got the other three pieces to the set,
there you
bro.
Go.
Like, I get it. Like, you had the other three pieces, and you're like, yo, I need this to complete my collection. This is the last Infinity Stone. I have found the final Dragon Ball. How much do you want for it? And Sean Marks was like,
for sure.
Give me the loot. Thanks for the call, Jay. And he fleeced y'all. That's an overpay. I don't care what you think. You might think that the Knicks are going to be a number two seed for the next 10 years. That's not a guarantee. And that's why I say it sets up the next 5 to 10 years of New York basketball to be very entertaining. The stage is set. It's guaranteed theater. We'll be little bro. We'll suck. We'll tank for Cooper Flagg or whoever else. And yeah, our picks should be up there. At least we got our picks back. But you know what? We got a guy out of here that didn't want to be here. They were holding him hostage. He was being trolled on podcasts, on internet. He was being trolled by his former college teammates and just taking it. He didn't even have any good comebacks. And we could tell, you don't really want to rep this Brooklyn B. You're not really about this whole Brooklyn Bridges thing that got put on you. You were traded here. You didn't even want to leave Phoenix to be here. So much so they had to bring your little buddy Cam Johnson over here. The twins. Corny. Super corny. Got him up out of here and got a lot back for him. And good. I hope that he plays like an all-star with the Knicks, right? I saw a clip of how he was talking about how he always loved the Garden. He wanted the Knicks to draft him because he played there in the Big East tournament. Great, great, great. Go do all that. But just know, it's win now, like right now, like this next season, the season after. You got about 3 years to bring home this chip, this championship that you guys all talked about, Isaiah Hartenstein being immortalized. But you got 3 years. And then them guys are going to start being over age 30, and the league always changes, and there'll be a new guard. There'll be somebody else that's going to emerge in the East. Don't let it be Brooklyn. Don't let Cam Thomas turn into a guy that's giving you 30 a night. Let me pump my brakes. Let me chill. I'll be modest. I'll sit in the corner and take the train down to Flatbush in Atlantic and, you know, go watch the Nets lose by 40 to, I don't know who comes in and beats us by 40, the Celtics. We'll lose by 40 to the Celtics. We'll be humble for a while. But what goes around comes around, man. Give it some time. I think it is great that the Nets did not stay stuck on stupid. They released that man. They freed that man. They got tired of seeing that SpongeBob meme with Squidward upstairs looking downstairs at Patrick and SpongeBob having a great time and people saying, yo, that's Mikal Bridges. 888-808-1019. It can work out for both sides. I just think that if you don't win the chip, if you don't win the NBA Finals, it's going to work out better for us because the pendulum will swing. And in years from now, the Nets might have a solid foundation, a solid core of players. Or another thing I was saying to people is, you guys act like we got to use them picks. Those picks could be traded for a piece down the road. 888-808-1019. Now we're talking Knicks, Mikal Bridges trade, Isaiah Hartenstein, him leaving. Who do the Knicks get next? And man, that's a different kind of pressure in the Garden that y'all are about to face. And I just think it's funny. I last remember Knicks fans outside the Garden chanting, Knicks in eight, Knicks in eight. You lost to the Pacers. And you just discard them like they're not going to get better. You lost to the Pacers. They beat you. And I know the excuse is all, oh, we were hurt. But that's part of the game. we had a good time, man. I made some money betting the Knicks against the Sixers. I knew they were going to beat the Sixers because the Sixers were hurt. Embiid was on one leg. But, I mean, you escaped some of those games. Barely. It took a no call. It took a Dante DiVincenzo. One's on the clock, man. We got to get to these calls. Ross in Bergen County has been waiting for a long time. He's got something to say about the other team that plays in the Garden.
How's it going, Keith? Be careful I talk a little hockey because I got to blow off some steam, man.
Well, it's early in free agency, Ross. How mad can you be at the Rangers?
It feels like we're a month into it. I'm going to tell you why. Right? I want to take a little trip down memory lane. I'm going to take you to July 23rd, 2021. I don't know if you were on the air at that point. I think it was like 3-4 years you've been around on the air. So
I was not on
the air. This is 2 months. All right, but give or take. So this is 2 months. Chris Drury happens to already be general manager of the Rangers following the whole Tom Wilson. You might have heard about that. You know, Buchnevich's neck on the ice, Panarin and all that. Wilson basically ravaged through our front office, and Chris Drury becomes GM. Now, 2 months later, Pavel Buchnevich, we once had a first line, coined the KZB line, with Pavel Buchnevich, kind of a blooming star, didn't really find his footing just yet, but a pending free agent. They trade him for a career bottom six left winger in Sammy Blais and a second round pick. Now, 3 years later, Pavel Buchnevich, I think, is making around $7 million a year. He almost doubled his point total in his first year in St. Louis. He's become that star he was supposed to be with us. Sammy Blais back with St. Louis through the Tarasenko trade. And meanwhile, 3 years later, I think we've gone through, give or take, maybe 25 right wingers on that first line in the 3 years since we made that trade. And here we go into July 1st. I know it's one day, but it feels like we went through an entire month of the offseason, seeing the entire surplus of right wings, any type of winger. Even, you know, Heller, a couple centers you could throw on the right wing because, you know, Lafreniere here is a career left winger, and he's worked out just fine on that right wing spot. You had guys like Gensel. I know he got signed right away. Patrick Kane, you might have heard that name once before. He got signed right back to Detroit right away. But if he was a Ranger last year, we would have had the early negotiations, but that's whatever. Then you see guys like Jonathan Marchessault, Victor Arvidsson. They're going for like $4 million apiece. And we got this Chris Drury sitting on his hands from dawn to dusk, dude. And, you know, the one move he made, he cooks up, is this guy Riley Smith. who was one of the OG Vegas Golden Knights, and gave up more for him than the Penguins had to a year ago when he was coming off one of the best seasons of his career, his last year being one of his worst. We gave up a second-round pick for this dude. Him and a fourth-line center in Sam Carrick is all this guy did.
Ross, let him cook, man. Maybe there's more happening.
Nah, you know what? There's more a whole ass fire in the kitchen, dude. The smoke detectors are going off, dude, and I'll tell you this. Capo Caco, he better not play another shift for this team, but knowing them, he's going to play here for 8 more years. He's going to get a mat. You know what? He already got his one-year extension. It's a trade-friendly deal. And you know who's not going to get traded? It is O-Cap and my captain, Jacob Trouba, because I don't know if you saw this in the post from Larry Brooks, but the trade that was supposed to happen 2 days ago isn't going to happen now because something between him or his way, and I don't like to get involved in, you know, the personal. I know off the ice, it's personal stuff. But you know what? When I got to hear that he doesn't want to leave the city, you can. There's 16 teams he could go to because it's a 15-team no-trade list, and Detroit being one of them.
Well, he likes it
here. That's the state he's from. But his wife likes to hear more. And you know what, dude? When honestly, you got to look at it. I know it's cruel. I know it's cold-blooded. But, dude, it's a business. At the end of the day, it's a cliche. You know, you ever see Gerard Gallant? You may have heard his name, too. When he got fired from Florida, they were the other side of the continent. They made the poor guy take a cab to the airport. Ruthless as could be. How many times you see these no-name athletes, they get cut 5 minutes after their happy birthday poster on Twitter? You remember that guy in Hard Knocks? What was it, the Charcucci board or whatever? And we got like a deep dive into his family life, and he got cut 2 weeks later? It's a business, dude. And yeah, now all of a sudden we hold on to the baton because this guy loves it in New York. He might be the only person to ever say that. That's a whole other different story. And now we got to keep it together because this guy loves to live in Manhattan. Listen, and we can't trade his $8 million contract.
Though? You guys are in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 out of 3 years. You guys had a wagon of a
Every
team.
Year,
you won the President's Cup. Who do you fear in the East? The Panthers aren't going to repeat.
I fear you guys, dude. I fear your Devils. I don't think Florida's going anywhere. Dude, every single year. Dude, you're not wrong,
dude.
I think the Devils are looking for revenge. Washington got better.
You swept us last year. It's not happening again.
They plunked them out of Goodwill. And, dude, let me say this. If we're going to hold our heads high every year because we're better than 15 out of 60 teams in the East, get those banners ready to go. That's the only damn thing they're going to reach at this point with this core. They peaked, dude. It's 2 out of 3 years. Everybody's holding their head high because we came within 2 games of the Eastern Conference Finals. And with this team, with this organization, dude, 2 years is going to be the centennial. They got 4 frickin' Stanley Cups to show for it. Yeah, all right. You know what, dude? At some point, you know,
you got the Mets. The Mets can get to the wild card and get to the postseason.
I'm dancing the night away to Oh My God.
Yeah. Stream that Oh My God. Starting. It's a hit record.
You can't make it up, dude. Let me get Narco on the shuffle next, dude. This is a disgrace, dude. You can't make it up, man.
All right. Ross in Bergen County. See, this is what I talk about when I talk about, like, the station is 37 years old. It's never going to die. Ross is 16. There are too many of us obsessed sports fans that care like that much. It is July 1st. That's what he called to say about the Rangers on July 1st. You don't have to worry about the Rangers until October. And they just gave you a hell of a season. They gave you so many good moments, but off season right now, just starting, not good enough, not what you want. I get it. That's why you can call the fan and you can vent for everybody to hear. And there's some Rangers fans out there that they're with you. They're older than you. They're twice your age, 3 times your age, Ross. And they're like, yeah, I hear you. I hear you, young man. Got to do more. And the Devils fans hear you too. Man, the Devil's about to strike back. I feel it. Like, I thought I picked the right time to root for the Devils a couple years back. The timing was a little bit off because I had to step out. I had a kid. I couldn't even get to the fan on the nights that the Devils were coming back and beating the Rangers to celebrate that. I'm listening to the fan, and I'm listening to all these Rangers fans not give the Devils their props and talk about all the issues with the Rangers, what the Rangers did. I'm like, yo, there are people in New Jersey and New York that are Devils fans that want to hear about give the Devils. There's no one here to give the Devils their props. This time around, things are going to be different. Jerry's in Neptune City. What's up, Jerry? You're on the fan in New York.
Yo, Keith, what's going on? Yo, remember when the Devils drafted Jack Hughes and the Rangers fans were in the garden cheering that they got Capo Caco and now they're saying he doesn't need to play.
I do remember that. That's before I was really tapped in. They thought. And everybody thinks that they know the future. Everybody thinks that they know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm suspecting that something's going on with the forward market right now because I know y'all overpaid. But the Devils picked up 2 defensemen today. which is great. But then we traded Holtz for, I guess, a bag of pucks and some water bottles for no reason. I figure they just hate him. I don't know where the Fitz magic was on that one.
I think
and
Sheldon Keefe being here, working with Fitz, Keefe's been here for over a month now. Like, I think he has an obvious say in it. They're cooking up something. I was saying how I keep getting these alerts and these write-ups from the Devils about the guy. I'm like, they're doing work. It seems like they're working at a feverish pace.
Apparently, we made offers to Stamkos and to Marchessault, but then they both, you know, the Preds are just tossing money around, and so we couldn't get any forward. So I don't know who we're gonna pick up, but anyhow, man, Ocean Township kid here. So I just wanted to say what's up.
Let's see. Devils agree to terms with forward Stefan.
Listen, he was good for us, like, but to be honest, I kind of feel like we overpaid for him.
And there was another name in there that I had.
I feel like that magic's probably not going to last too long. I mean, we got our core set, and we got some of the best skaters in the NHL. It's really
got
more
a better
the bottom
goalie, got better
like
guys in front of him. You got young guys.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting Dougie Hamilton back, and the Devils fans are activated. They were out for blood last year. Like, it's time.
We're going to be the best power play in the NHL this year. Yo, Keith, man, take it easy, bro. Let's go Spartans.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. 888-808-1019, talking puck on the fan. Like, I'm learning more and more. I'm tapped in. I'm seeing these things, and I'm like, cool, because I'll be over there. The Devils have a great atmosphere over there in Newark. They got a great fan base. They are trying to return to prominence and dominance, and it seems like they have the right energy and urgency and enthusiasm this offseason to erase what happened last season and get right back to where they were when they lost to the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think it can happen, man. I think this is good. It's good to have multiple teams competing right here in the greater New York City area. Dave is in Cranford, New Jersey. Dave, you're next up on the fan. What's up, Dave? You there? Oh, it sounds like he slept. It happens, bro. I thought I could hear like some rock-a-bye baby on a treetop. Let's go to Bridget, White House Station, New Jersey, on the fan next. Are you awake, Bridget?
I am very much awake.
Just check it.
I'm actually going back home to restart work after being in the office, then going to play some co-ed softball. Now have to finish up work.
Oh, wow.
And I just had to show you a little bit of love.
Okay.
Because I used to listen to 98.7 all day, every day. We'd watch the Michael Kay show. And your show, driving home from Yankee games at night, is what made me a full-time fan listener.
Appreciate it. Pulled you in. And now you just keep the dial on 101.9 FM. Now you want to hear what everybody else on the fan has to say. Not the first time I've heard that. Thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely. And it actually all started with me literally hitting up with my friends. Like, but I'm like, no, we got to get in the car. We have to listen to Keith.
Yeah.
We would literally have to wait for the Yankee game to be over, wait out the post game, and then drive back just so I can listen to you while dropping all my friends off in Jersey City and Hoboken.
Appreciate it. I love that. I'm flattered to be a part of, like, your Yankees routine. Is awesome.
Absolutely. And I think it's all the same. It's the generation thing. I think we're probably not that far off. I was a 91 baby. So
yeah, 88 here, so not that far off.
It's literally all the 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and, I guess all the little preteens.
It is. Bridget, thank you for the call. Sounds like a storm's coming. But, you know, that's real. Shout out to the Kayster. I've always been a Michael Kay fan. I appreciate him for what he does with the Yankees, obviously, but also on the radio and, you know, calling other games. And, man, every time I've seen Michael Kay, he's been solid. He's just been a good dude, and he shows me love. And it's amazing for me as a Yankee fan to even have a relationship with the Caster. I saw he was in my hood. You know, they had the Beach Bash at Barre, which I grew up going to Barre. Everybody in the Shore area knows Beat the Clock. I grew up, you know, going to Barre for years. And then he stayed around, and he was in Asbury Park. I was like, good, Caster, good. And so, you know, for Bridget to call and say, I used to listen to 98.7 all day because of the Michael Kay show, you know, that Yankee energy. And I switched to WFAN because of you, because I want to hear you after the games. Like that's cool. Like, I'm looking forward to going to the game tomorrow night and racing back here to host the show. Hopefully the Yankees win. And, like, I'm thankful to be a part of all of this. You know, 37 years at WFAN. My parents didn't listen to WFAN in the car. Nobody put me on the WFAN. I listened to it when I was driving Lyft, Uber. I was, you know, I didn't even have a car for so long. I didn't even have L's. I didn't even have a driver's license for a while. Like, and there, you couldn't listen to the radio on your phone for a while until they had the, like, Radio 1 app and then became the Odyssey app. But what I'm saying is, like, I mean, I've always been doing this Yankee stuff. And I went from podcasts and internet and vlogs and being in the stadium. It's been an amazing 3 years. I'm coming up in August on 3 years since I had my audition. And it's just crazy how many people are like, yo, I'll be listening to you on a ride home. Or like, yo, you're part of, you know, us driving home. And you know, she just said, we got to sit through the post game. I used to look forward so much to the post game. Shout out to Sweeney Murdy. If I don't say that enough, you got to know how much Sweeney Murdy means to me. Way before you guys ever heard of me, Sweeney Murdy. You know, I was just going back and watching the Yankees 2009. Sometimes I'll go back and watch, you know, on YouTube the 1998 Yankee season. And I was just watching, you know, the 2009 movie, and Sweeney Murdy had an interview in that. So he would pop up here and there. I was like, man, look at young Sweeney. And I love Sweeney after the game, because win or lose, Sweeney was the same. Sweeney's approach was very measured. He was even keeled, and he's so smart. He could, like, almost talk you off the ledge without telling you, like, it's going to be all right. And I needed that as a younger, crazy Yankee fan. And sometimes I would just get pissed watching the post game on Yes Network, because obviously the manager's got to say the same thing, and, you know, they're not going to really give you some things. But, yeah, it's awesome. It's cool. I'm here for you guys. For Yankee fans to champion me in a way like this is everything, yo. It's everything, yo. So I appreciate it, man. Like, I don't take it for granted. I put in the work. I pull up. And when I see you guys in person, I thank you for listening. So let's continue. That was a cool call. Mike is in Brooklyn. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith. What's up, man?
What's up, Mike? Thanks for holding.
I just call back to someone mentioned Brendan Byrne Arena. Mm-hmm. I got to play there with my little CYO team back in the day, and we got to see Kenny Anderson play. That was pretty cool. But did you ever see when they came over to Brooklyn before they ever, you know, played? There's a documentary out there. I don't know if you've seen it, called Battle for Brooklyn.
No, I'll look it up. What was it about?
The Atlantic Yards and the whole what went down there, and it's kind of like Hoop Dreams, where the directors, the filmmakers, they followed the story for years. And then there was one holdout, a guy who was in the footprint. Anyway, I won't go too much into it, but yeah, Battle for Brooklyn, you could probably find it online.
Yeah,
and it's an interesting story. Yeah. But listen, Keith, just to circle back to your opening, because I feel like
going back to my opening, what was I talking about in the
Yankees.
Open? With the Yankees, with Stroman?
With Stroman, thank you, yes. And it sounded like you were saying that it wasn't the Yankee way, but...
No, it's not the baseball way.
I don't know, put words in your mouth, but that we were happy. Ultimately, it was a good thing that it happened.
Yeah, cause and effect? Like, he was dead wrong. He was wrong. Like, you don't show up your teammates... You know, you're not perfect on the mound. They're not going to be perfect fielding behind you. And it was slightly irrational because, like, I don't know how much harder Glaber could have thrown the ball. And I'm not sure Glaber was just, like, out to lunch and not turning the double play faster. And I understand it was Vladimir Guerrero running, so you thought you had it. But what came from it was positive, right? And sometimes you need some emotion and some urgency to shake up a team. Everybody can't just da-doom, 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 go through the motions. Up, three down. Oh, we're not. We're striking out. We're popping out. We're grounding out. We're losing. Or up, we'll get them next time. Only got one out. Like, he flipped out. He lost his mind. And I think that it was a boiling point that he had reached over time, and that a lot of Yankee fans have been reaching over time. And you know what? It got directed at Gleyber Torres, because Gleyber Torres was the guy that got benched. Gleyber Torres was the guy most recently not hustling in the Subway Series. How many times have we talked about, oh, Gleyber Torres again, Gleyber Torres again? So for it to be Gleyber Torres not turning that double play, Stroman was wrong, but I think it shook the team up a little bit. You even saw like Gleyber looking at Judge, almost like he was looking at it like a proud dad. Like, look at me. Look, I did it. Like, and it's like, whatever. It woke the team up. They scored 16 runs. We hadn't seen them do that in a while. Everybody got some. And I think he went and checked in with Boone. Like he said, he obviously talked to Judge. He probably checked in with Gleyber, apologized for it. And I watched the postgame, and he talked about the emotions of the season and how you're not going to win all 162. And, you know, his emotions got the best of him. But, like, it comes from wanting to win. And I like that. These are supposed to be dogs, right? When the dogs get to barking, you know, it's not supposed to be friendly. These are grown men. These are millionaires competing at the highest level. I'm tired of the softness. I'm tired of, oh, you got a boo-boo. Let's take you out of the lineup. Or, oh, it's okay, Gleyber. Let's keep coddling you. No, we're trying to win the damn World Series now.
And just the point about the team on the other side, I can't believe, maybe I'm wrong, but do the Mets not have a radio broadcast that's on FM? Because no, I'm looking for it on...
They have. It's on 880. Howie Rose, Keith Rad, Pete McCarthy.
Okay, because then I put on... It wound up being the Nationals like TV team, and it's wild because like those small market... Or
through the app, Bat app?
No comment.
No, so if you're the same, I don't know if you listen to WFAN on the Odyssey app, the same way we're on the Odyssey app, if you search 880, that's how I listen to the Mets games. When the Mets aren't on Pix 11, I can't watch SNY. I use Fubo TV, and Fubo decided the Mets weren't important this year, and they got rid of SNY. So I was telling Howie Rose in here, I'm like, dude, I've been listening to you call games, and even your like understudies and the guys that you're training, I was telling him how much I've been enjoying what he does and respect to him and his broadcast. I've been listening to the Mets games this season more than ever. It's on 880 on the Odyssey app as well.
Gotcha. I'm not saying that they don't work hard. And, you know, I mean, the homerism is so much more obvious, but, like, there is a drop-off between New York and, you know, the probably L.A., Scully, obviously,
everywhere.
Forever.
There's a...
it's brutal.
There's a big drop-off. We care about it the most. We have the best of the best. Mike, thanks for the call. You know, it's funny, right? I got asked to sit in for Susan Waldman with, like, I don't know, 10 days notice. And it's something I would never, ever, ever say no to. It's a wild dream that I still go back to, and I just kind of laugh. Like, I can't believe I got to do that. And... I don't know how I did. I did the best that I could do in the moment. It was a lot to process. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to... There's so many... They're handing you stat sheets and rosters and numbers. You got producers in your ear. You've got the Yes Network screen, the monitor next to you. You've got the live game right in front of you. I've got people in Delta yelling my name for pictures and selfies. I've got everyone I've ever known texting me, yo, I'm listening to you call the Yankee game. This is nuts. Good luck, break a leg. But I don't think I was that bad as some of the calls that I've heard. I've heard clips and calls from across the country. I'm a baseball fan like that. I watch Quick Pitch and they have different calls. And I've actually now tapped into some more different things. Like, this girl who calls the Oakland A's game has gone viral this year. She's terrible. And I don't mean to throw her under the bus, but like she's just called games and been wildly incorrect. And then she's also called games and had no enthusiasm. And I think she's an experienced broadcaster. I got to find her name. But there's some other people. I remember the Tigers. I remember listening to the Tigers broadcast one year where I was like, they don't even sound like they like baseball. Like, they don't sound like they want to be there. At least when you're listening to me, you know I'm happy as can be to be there. You're hearing me as the color guy with Justin Shackle. You can tell that, man, this is everything to me. And you could probably also tell that I never called a baseball game before. So what a wild experience. Your first two baseball games to be on the call are the New York Yankees. Bam, 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 bam. All right, we got a break. 888-808-1019. In this last hour, I usually call it open mic. That's why we've talked about all these different things. And whatever you want to sneak in, before I end this show at 12 o'clock, now's the time. It's wide open for calls. I've got 20 minutes left. Let's break it down, play some other voices and sounds and advertisements. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. It's what I do. Jadakiss. It's crazy now that every time I hear this beat, it's like Jadakiss owns this beat. This is Biggie's beat. Nah, it's Jadakiss' beat. If you know, you know. All right. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Another 5 hour KM to AM about to conclude. We've got 14 minutes to take the rest of these calls. I've only got 3 calls, 4 calls, 5 calls. No, I've got 2 calls, but I know that's going to change in a couple minutes. If you'd like to get a word in on Isaiah Hartenstein in the Nets, go for it. Or in the Knicks, go for it. If you'd like to get a word in on Mikal Bridges in the trade with the Brooklyn Nets, go for it. If you want to say anything else about NBA free agency from Klay Thompson to whoever else, Paul George, and how you feel, call up and say that. We talked a little bit about the NHL. I'm just excited because the New Jersey Devils had a disappointing season after many viewed them as one of the best teams in the NHL. And what they did in this offseason is come back with a vengeance. And it seems like they're stacking the deck. I hope that the New York Yankees stack the deck. It's July now. The deadline approaches. Tick, 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 tick. We're 29 days away, and we'll see what the Mets do. But tonight, the Mets did not go L3. They did not lose 3 in a row to have a losing streak, which would have poured some cold water on the whole Grimace thing and definitely some cold water on Candelita and Oh My God and the performance that happened in Citi Field Friday. So good for the Mets to get another win, even with that shaky bullpen. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much all we talked about. You know, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Judge being a robot mutant, Juan Soto saying, nah, I'm tougher than this. You guys aren't going to baby me. We got to win. We gotta split this series. Put me in the lineup. I'm going to get a knock, and Judge is going to hit a ball to deep center. Yeah, and Gosman's going to throw at Judge. I'm like, you got to be out of your mind. Like, what if you throw at Judge and he actually charges the mound? You just know he's a sweetheart. He's a gentle giant. You just know that that's not going to happen. So, yeah, that's pretty much all we talked about today, tonight. NHL free agency, NBA free agency, the Candelita Oh My God run coming off of the Grimace run, and the Yankees finding a way to not lose their 5th series of the season, and now they'll return home to the Bronx tomorrow. Let's go to Tim in Norwalk, Connecticut. Welcome back, Tim. You're on the Fan.
What up, Keith? Oh, my God. I was just going to say, I was like, Jadakiss, aha!
Exactly. It's like, right away, it's like, wow, that's his song.
So I'm watching SportsCenter right now, and I'm looking at everything, and I'm just this whole Mets thing, it's cute. Like, there's a JV, and obviously our Yankees are the varsity.
We can't say that.
I mean, we don't need the game.
Nah, we can't get that off right now. I guess overtime, right? I guess in the grand. I mean,
what are your thoughts on Jose Iglesias? Did he start with the Tigers or did he start with the Boston Red Sox?
Iglesias is like 30. I think he was with the
Tigers. But now he's rapping right now? Does he have a taco place? I mean, like, seriously, this is crazy.
I don't know. He was with the Reds. He was with the Angel Journeyman.
For the Mets right now?
And he doesn't rap. He sings.
All right. So we'll go to your Nets. Thank you for Mikal, or however you pronounce his name. But I'm disappointed with the Knicks. I'm disappointed with the Rangers. We got old-timers that you need to be signing at the trade deadline, rather than signing them. I mean, I thought Steven Stamkos was going to the New York Rangers, but at the you know what? Let's just talk about our New York Yankees. And Aaron Judge is about to hit 65 home runs this year.
It just doesn't make any sense. What if he didn't bat 188 and slump in the first month when all of us were like, what the hell is
going
on?
Isn't that insane? Nobody actually thinks about that.
But like, if he actually had just a regular start to the season, his numbers it already looks like a video game, but it would look like something we couldn't even fathom right now.
Nintendo 64. It would be Nintendo 64. Aaron Judge just like
it's too you easy. Just like it's way too easy for the guy at this point.
I'm watching the Yankee Yes Network right now. Yankees Classic. Paul Contrell is pitching right now against the Red Sox, and who pitched earlier? Tanyan Sturts. I bet anybody our age do not even know those guys' names. But anyway, Keith, always a pleasure. Have a great night. You're awesome. And let's go Yankees.
Thanks for the call, Tim. Qual Contrell, you guys know these guys. It wasn't that long that he was pitching in Major League Baseball.
Tanyan Sturts were number 56. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm not good at remembering these guys. Like, I just there's too much stuff to remember. That's why, like, I appreciate a guy like Evan Roberts. Yeah, Evan's a nerd. Evan can't dress, but he's got a brain that can like remember every roster of the Mets since he started watching baseball. I can't do that. My brain's not built like that. I don't have one of those minds. I know a lot of different things, but I can't recall. That's why we have the internet. And I think with the invention of Google and the internet too, there's less reason to know exactly who was playing what position and batting where in the lineup in what year. I mean, it helps to know. It's great to know that stuff off the top of your head. But also that can be very like wasteful like of your brain space. There's people that know lyrics to 300 songs in their heads. More. What does that help you do? You're in a cover band?
I feel attacked.
I know. I used to, and not so much anymore. I used to know too many verses. I used to know too many rap verses. And now I'm trying to get back into my bars, into writing, and I'm like, man, I've lost it. I'll write a couple bars, or I'll freestyle a couple bars, and I'm like, you're whack. You're trash. I used to think I actually had it, bro. I used to think I was nice.
Damn, dog.
It happens. You don't have anybody to rap with, cipher with, life will happen to you. I'm cooked. I'm a whole dad and husband now. I grew up. I actually grew up. I thought I was going to be Peter Pan. Never, never land with the Lost Boys. Life hit me, and I had some decisions to make. I became a family man. I used to do a lot of stuff that I just...
Give it 6 or 7 years. You and Jackson are going to be spinning bars.
I know. That's the thing. I'm like, seeing my son, I'm like, it's all going to restart. And I'm going to be able to teach him things and see what he likes and what he's into. And he's definitely going to pull. I'm like, bro, he's a good-looking kid. I'm like, you're going to be rich. You're going to be famous. You're going to pull all the girls. E. Frank is out in Astoria. E. Frank, you're on the Fan.
Yes, Keith, I like how you matured a lot. I'm very proud of all your efforts. And I would just like to say, I have a question for you. This has to do with Isaiah Hartenstein. Because every time an announcer mentions the last name, it's like they're insulting his family heritage. Has he actually been traded, or he's planning to leave the Knicks?
Isaiah Hartenstein has signed a 3-year, $87 million deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder as of today. That's a move. That's not a trade. That's a move. Like he just signed with them. He's a free agent.
Oh, well, you know, I got to tell you, his father actually gave me, I knew Isaiah when he was up and coming. He was a young child, and he told me one day he wanted to become a New York Knick. He actually made it. He was sent to this year, and his father, man, Joe, gave me a hard time during these playoff seasons, because I knew all along.
What town was this where you knew a young...
past Grand Knight, Martin E. Hale, would tell me, the Hardenstein family, they're very tough. Joe is very tough. Independent Knight of Columbus, the guy is very strong. His son is very strong. But I thought that maybe, you know, he might have thought to stay with the Knicks, but he just signed that 3-year deal. I didn't know that, man. That's terrible how he just didn't want to play with the Knicks no more.
No, that's fantastic. He actually went to the West, to the number one seed, and that money in Oklahoma is going to stretch a lot further, and he's going to get to that bag a lot faster. Where'd you say a young Isaiah Hartenstein grew up, or you ran into him?
Well, I ran into him lately in the post office, and I also ran into him one day in a church service. A camera indicates, I'm not delusionating, Keith. You know, he just introduced his son one day. He says, this is my son,
what's his pop's
Isaiah.
Name?
He's New York Knick, and I just kept walking because I didn't really know what the story was about. I only heard about it through my past grandnight, Martin E. Hale. He's deceased now, from my Council 309.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. What's you didn't say his dad's first name.
He just identified himself as Joe.
Yeah, nah, I gotta let you go, Frank. Yeah, where's C-Mac at, bro? Hey, C-Mac is warming up for Loopy on the late night. C-Mac, come through and take these late night calls. C-Mac had me cracking up last week, and then I saw we clipped the clip.
Isaiah, yeah. Hartenstein's father's name is Florian, by the way.
I know.
Not Joseph.
I looked it up. His dad, he's first generation. I think his dad is from Germany, but he grew up out was born in Oregon.
That's where Sam Presti went out to meet him. He still lives out in Oregon. I was tracking a flight that left from Eugene to Oklahoma City
in 2008. Hartenstein and his family moved to Germany, where his father was playing professionally. So they are back and forth. Like, that's E-Frank is funny, bro. You're funny. You're trolling, bro.
But Isaiah actually, he does represent the German national team. So
yeah, that's not like he's. I mean, but
and
like,
he started his career out in Germany. He or out in Europe. He didn't go to college here in the States.
Right. When you go and look at his Wikipedia, his career starts with the Artland Dragons, the Žalgiris Kaunas.
That's got to be Lithuania. Nope, it's Germany.
But E-Frank said he knew Joe, and a young Isaiah wanted to be a Nick when he grew up.
He must have misheard him, because he probably introduced himself as Flo, maybe not Joe. I digress. It's not my show. Turn my mic off.
He said he ran into him at the post office at a church service. Y'all trip me out with the stuff you call a fantasy. I was driving home, and I'm listening to C-Mac, and C-Mac is dead serious. Yankee fans, we were locked in last week. We got absolutely owned by the Mets. It felt like the sky was falling. It sounded like every Yankee fan was out on this team, and we got to come in here and try and right the ship and talk people off the ledge and start talking about the trade deadline. And some guy calls C-Mac and refers to Juan Soto as Juan Soho. And he's talking about trading him. He's talking about Vladdy Jr. And I'm like, this is a troll call. I'm like, I'm waiting for Chris to realize this guy's trolling. But, you know, it's late at night and there's not that many calls. And you're trying to give people their time until you realize this guy's messing with me. And C-Mac hit the salicata. Like, I'll quit. I'm out of here. I don't have to do this. Like, there's something about being on the air at like 3 a.m, 4 a.m, getting messed with. When you're like, I'll go home. I will quit. I don't have to be here. You're not going to waste my time, and I don't have to waste your time. We could just end this right here. We could go to break. Last call of the night goes to Dan out on Staten Island. Dan, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how we doing, brother?
Good, good. That was funny. I don't know if C-Mac's out there. I don't know if you can hear me, but that was a great call. And it low-key was like one of the best performing clips on WFAN social media.
Nah, I got to give the guy credit, bro. He literally sounded like he smoked probably 2 packs of Newports before calling you. And then the fact that he went on for a solid 5 minutes about how he allegedly knew Hartenstein and his dad is just comedy.
Yeah, and then how are you calling the Fan, you know, 10 minutes before midnight and you don't know the news? Nowhere in New York did you hear the news.
It literally came out at like, what, 12 o'clock in the afternoon?
It was like, I think it was on the midday show. It was BT and Sal broke that news.
That broke my heart, man. I really thought, I was really hoping Hartenstein would sign back. But Listen, I actually am calling not for a major sport today. I'm actually calling to give flowers to WWE. Like, I don't know if you've been watching it at all recently, but, like, the product has been amazing up and down the card from the main event to the opening match. And it just comes down to Triple H with how well it's been with him and everything. From him promoting Cody Rhodes and how great his story's been to how great he's promoting the young talent like Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes. And to even having it be so good without Roman is just insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch. I saw Halliburton in the ring with Jalen Brunson. I was more of like a Dude Love, Nick Foley, Mankind guy. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. I'll be on after the Yanks tomorrow. Be good. Peace.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN News.